Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome into Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM as we are rolling here once again on a Thursday night. As always, Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton here with us as always. Got a packed show for you tonight. We're getting you set for the big game in Southwest Virginia here in week number four. What, week four already? All righty. That means Union goes on the road to Graham. We'll talk to both of those coaches, Tony Palmer and Travis Turner, tonight. Also, Michael Lombardi will join us. The former NFL general manager of the Cleveland Browns worked in the front offices for the San Francisco 49ers, Oakland Raiders, and the New England Patriots. Worked on TV for the NFL Network and for FS1, now with VSiN, the Brent Musburger Gambling Network. He's got a new book out, Football Done Right. He'll join us later on in the show as well. Kenny Hawkins, News Channel 11 sports director, WJHL, will join us as our guest picker as well later on in the show. So a lot to get to tonight, fellas. Let's check in with you all first. Zach, how are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. I'll be honest with you. It's been a good week. Saw, Friday night I was doing a football game, and we got lightning delayed and ran late. Got home about 1:30 in the morning, had to turn around and call another game on Saturday. We got an hour lightning delay there. And then Monday I had to make another two-hour trip to finish the Friday game. So right now I'm on fumes, but fantastic.
Fantastic. I love it, Corey. I love it. We did not have lightning delays at our broadcast. You were at Ridgeview Central. I had Patrick Henry and J.I. Burton, but we did have some other stuff. My goodness, what a team Patrick Henry put on Friday night. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. A little groggy, but I'm doing good.
Is that because of vacuums?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'll go a little bit more into that.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and start off with the game you had, sir, as we recap Southwest Virginia Week 3. Ridgeview traveled to Central, got the win 44-7. We were all in the Wolfpack. What you see of Ridgeview on Friday night is they're now 3-0, Corey.
Dominant. They're just dominant. I said this before. I don't know how a quarterback can get that much better, but Ryan O'Quinn continues to do it, and he's put the team on his back. The Baker kid, two big touchdown receptions again. Against an opponent down here in Norton. And then, you had Jalen Deal, who they're really doing the running back by committee from, I always get Hackney, from Hackney, being out there. They put Honecker back there as well. He ran one in from 4 yards out. And Jalen Deal, who one of their coaches said, pretty fast kid, is a fast kid, 33-yard touchdown. Watch out, those headphones might slip off again. And they just look, I mean, they look very well put together. We're pitching a shutout, was trying to go. They've, for their first three games, they have pitched shutouts in the first three quarters. Mm-hmm. They're good.
No, they're very,
and
they're,
Dwayne Stanley still hasn't lost a game in the Commonwealth of Virginia yet.
No, good point. His only loss is to Bluefield in the regular season last year, then lost to Graham at Mitchell Stadium in Bluefield in the region title game. I see what you did there. Zach, Ridgeview's off to a nice start. Everybody sort of thought they'd take a step back. Maybe not the case here in 2023.
Well, I kind of think it's a little bit of a perfect storm for Ridgeview. You know, they're kind of retooling some things with some great talent graduating, but the district and the region isn't really what it has been in the past. So it's kind of a, if anyone's going to retool, this is the year to do it. And I think Ridgeview's taking advantage of that.
Absolutely the case. And we'll have their pick of the game coming up later on in the show as they travel to Virginia High this week to take on the Bearcats, who are now 1-2 as well, coming off a loss to Radford on Friday night. Science Hill traveled to Bullet Park to take on Union Friday. Final score, Science Hill 27. Union 6. We all had the Hilltoppers, Zach, but Science Hill makes the trip over, and Union, I thought, pretty much fared themselves pretty well against the Hilltoppers, a 6A school from the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, I thought so, too. There were local message boards kind of joking about Bullet Park, which is a fantastic facility. You know, it's not a city facility with, 10,000 seats, but it seemed like Science Hill got comfortable. Union gave them a battle, but Signs, seals, depth in the end kind of did what it was going to do, what we expected to do. But I think this is, you know, I'm not a big guy on moral wins, but I really think this is one of those that you can kind of put in their back pocket and say, hey, look at who we've hung with. There's no one in the region with the depth that Science Hill has. So maybe that's something Union can use for a little motivation on down the road.
Nobody has the depth that Science Hill has, but Graham, I think maybe you can make the case, has some comparable speed, and that's who they've got this week. We'll preview that game later on with both coaches and Pickett later on in the show as well. Let's go quickly here, fellas. Let's move on to Honecker and Ryko. Final score, Honecker 40, Ryko 32. We've got an investigation to take place here. So, let's set the scene here, shall we? Last week on the show, we picked this game. We talked to both coaches, Todd Tiller, Honecker, Gary Collier at Rycove. Thursday night, full disclosure, we recorded the show earlier on Thursday. Thursday night, I'm getting ready to go to sleep, go to work for early Friday morning. I'm watching the little Chiefs-Lions. I'm watching the little Braves. Who they play that night? Dodgers that night, maybe? No, I don't think that's right. I forget who they were playing that night, but I was watching. I was trying to watch both games, going back and forth. And then all of a sudden, I get a text message in our group chat, Zach. Hey, Corey's like, I audible to Honecker in our pick, because this is what we heard at first on the show last week when we were doing our pick segment of our Food City game picks on this game.
I'm just going to say, they haven't played in 20 years. I'm going to say Rye Cove just because they're at home. And that's a haul from Honecker to Rye Cove. I did that drive pretty much one day in the middle of the night. So
why?
Long story.
After the show?
Yeah.
I think I already know the story, but you're going Rye Cove? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I live in Scott County.
Okay. And Zach, for Corey. I asked him a second time, and he said, yes, Rye Cove. I asked him a second time.
Okay. Now play the rest of the tape.
Now, Zach, did you hear that?
Play the rest of the tape.
You know, I only got one good ear, but I heard that pretty clear.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right. So, Corey at that point had picked Rye Cove. We then went around the room. Heather Williams, our guest picker last week from WCYB, said Honecker. Zach Helton said Honecker. I said Honecker. And then just in the middle of one of us making our picks, we got this audio. This Honecker team's really good. Rye Cove's really good, too.
I'm audible.
Don't get me wrong. What was that, Zach? Are we going to give credit to that comment? I'm audibling just in the middle of my statement of picking?
Oh, man. Listen, I don't get paid enough to be in charge of this. It's on you, Jacob.
Don't you dare.
I heard what I heard, though. I heard what I heard.
Oh, I don't know, fellas. I don't know. Even on our sheet this week, I left open the availability of whether we would give it credit or not. Boy, Zach, don't you think this sets a dangerous precedent?
You know, it's almost like taking bets off a board when a high-profile quarterback gets injured. Like, those are the type of slippery slopes we're trending towards this week, it looks like.
That did happen Monday night.
I called Green 19.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear Spotted Two-Law Banana. I didn't hear any of it.
Green 19?
I didn't hear Omaha.
Sound audible.
Oh, man.
Whatever you all think is appropriate, whatever you want to do, it's fine by me.
I'm going to be...
You don't have to be... You don't have to. I won't be mad. I'm just making a point.
Zach, I'm thinking I'm going to be generous.
I owe everybody lunch.
I ain't gonna be generous here, Zach.
I want dinner. I don't want lunch. I want dinner. Here's the thing. What if it's down at the end comes to one game?
Yeah. Well, I'm hanging on to the darn audio, I'll tell you that much.
Blood will spill.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Blood will spill at the Golden Girls, and it wouldn't be the first time. I'm going to give it to you, Corey. I'm going to give you Honecker.
All right, dude.
All right. Other games like, gosh, goodness. It's like kissing
won't happen sister. Again. It won't.
All right. Patrick Henry defeats. I had a history teacher in college who told me 2% milk was like kissing your sister. That's what that feels like, what I just did there. Patrick Henry beat J.I. Burton 60-7. I saw with my own eyes. Not pretty. Hey, I don't know how many times you can say this in life. 60-7, and it wasn't that close. East side over Riverview, 14-6. We all had the Spartans. Abingdon over Gate City, everybody. Falcons get the win. We were all in Gate City. Oops. Holston beat John Battle in overtime, 13-12. We were all in John Battle. Oops. Taz will over Richlands 39-36. Hey, Zach, how long did it take to play this game? 74 hours?
I think there have been actual wars between countries that were shorter than this game. It was very similar to the game I had in Southern West Virginia. But Tazewell with a huge comeback. Richlands was up in this game. And from reports that I'd heard from some promising people said Richlands looked good in the first half, and then everything halted in the second half, and Tazewell kind of took over from there. But maybe there's some promise in Richlands. Went two weeks with just 6 points and then an outpouring of offense at 36 points. So maybe the offense has figured it out. We'll see. But, yeah, we call Tazewell. So there you go.
We're going to get to a game here in a moment in Tennessee that's going to take about 170 hours to play. We'll get that here in just a moment. Last week, all right, we're giving the win to Corey. So we all go 6 out of 8 last week in Virginia. Myself, Heather, Corey, and Zach. Standings in Virginia now. We're all 22 out of 30, Zach. You're talking about it maybe coming down to one game. We're neck and neck right now, 73.3% right now in Southwest Virginia.
Yeah.
We're going to keep a note on this. Going to keep a note on this. Just remember this. Just remember. Northeast Tennessee, week 4, Jefferson County beat Dobbins Bennett 25-14. Heather and Zach had the Patriots. That game kicked off at almost 10 o'clock Friday night. South Green beat Chucky Doak Saturday morning is when this game got played. A kickoff time of 10 a.m., fellas. I'm not kidding about it being Saturday morning. They played in that lower afternoon at 10 a.m. South Green beat the Black Knights, so 37-24. Myself and Heather had the Rebels. Sullivan East over Unicorn County, 26-13. Sullivan East now 3-1. Heather and Zach had the Patriots again. Hampton over Happy Valley, 36-0. We're all in the Bulldogs. And that game I was talking about, Daniel Boone and Morristown West, they kicked off that game at scheduled time at Bertone Stadium in Hamblin County. They played about 7 or so minutes of the first quarter. Morristown West led 3-0. Then Lightning came into play at Bertone Stadium in Morristown, and they end up suspending the game at that point. They do not go back and play that game later that night. They don't go back and play that game on Friday or on Saturday. They don't go back and play that game on Sunday like Elizabethan and Cherokee did in Hawkins County. They didn't go back and play that game on Monday like Richlands or Tazewell or North Green and Cumberland Gap. No sorry, Dodge. They're playing that game tonight, folks. Daniel Boone and Morristown West. Morristown West at 2-1. Daniel Boone at 1-2. Everybody went Daniel Boone except for your boy. I went Morristown West. So we'll keep an eye on that pick there. But that game will take about 170 hours to play. Also, a couple of schedule adjustments due to that fact. Daniel Boone was supposed to play Elizabethan tomorrow night. That game has been canceled. That game will not be made up. That game has been canceled. Morristown West was supposed to play Greenville tomorrow night. That game has been moved to Tuesday. They will still play that game, but they will play it Tuesday night between Morristown West and Greenville. Yes, sir. If they had not made up that game, fellas, Greenville would have been down to 7 games this season because of the Dobbins Bennett and Alcoa games being ruled no contest. They'd have been down to 7 games. They really needed another game to play there, and so they are going to play that Morristown West game on Tuesday night. Daniel Boone and Elizabeth Deneau will not be made up. They will both go down the 9 games on their schedules for this year. So we'll update you on the score of that game next week and update the standings in that form as well, because when we get to it later on, it'll be very important to our guest picker. Last week, though, in Tennessee right now, Heather was perfect 4 out of 4, Zach 3 out of 4, Jacob 2 out of 4, Corey 1 out of 4. Standings in Tennessee. Myself, 21 out of 29, 72.4%. Corey, 17 out of 29, 58.6%. And Zach, 16 out of 29, 55.2%. Last week in Eastern Kentucky, Bell County over Perry County Central, 30 to 26. Zach was the only one on PCC. Shelby Valley blew out Middlesbrough, 50 to 28. We were all in the Yellow Jackets. Oops. Letcher County Central blew out Hazard, 54 to 6. Corey was the only one on Hazard. And Leslie County rattled Harlan, 25 to 8, I should say. Everyone had Leslie County. Last week, I was 3 out of 4. Corey and Zach, each 2 out of 4. Standings in Kentucky, myself, 20 out of 25, 80%. Zach, 17 out of 25, 68%. And Corey, 16 out of 25, 60%. Last week in high school, Zach, 13 out of 15. Jacob, 11 out of 15. Corey, 9 out of 15. High school standings, myself, 63 out of 85, 74.1%. Zach, 56 out of 85, 65.9%. And Corey, 53 out of 85, 62.4%. All right, fellas, let's pick some games in Eastern Kentucky. Let's start off here. Phelps travels to Knott County Central. Corey, who wins between these two teams who each have only one win so far this season?
Let's go with Fred Phelps.
Phelps on the road for Corey. How about you, Zach?
I'm going to go Knott County Central on this one.
I am as well. I'll go the Patriots at home to move to 2-3. They lead the all-time series 3-0. Pikeville travels to Belfry. They're both 2-2. Zach, who do you like?
This is a sneaky good game over there. Road trip, anyone? Bueller? I'm going to go Pirates at home to squeak one out.
That would be Belfry. Corey?
Yeah, I'll go Belfry as well.
I'm going to go Belfry at home as well. We're all on Belfry to move to 3-2. Pikeville maybe dropping to 2-3. That'd be surprising. Prestonsburg at Pike County Central. Pike County Central still undefeated, Corey. Do they stay that way?
Yes.
Pike County Central for Corey. How about you, Zach?
I think Prestonsburg goes in and gets the win.
Prestonsburg on the road for Zach. They lead the all-time series 12-5, but I'm going to take PCC at home. Perry County Central travels to Shelby Valley. Shelby Valley coming off the big win over Middlesbrough last week. Zach, can they make it back-to-back big wins for the Wildcats?
Yeah, I'll go Shelby Valley.
Shelby Valley at home. Corey?
Let's go Shelby Valley.
Everybody's on Shelby Valley, as am I. Johnson County, Tennessee, the Longhorns travel to take on Harlan, Corey. Johnson County 2-2, Harlan 1-3. Who gets the win?
It's going to be a long haul for the Longhorns, but I think they'll win it.
Johnson County on the road for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, I like the cattle drive in Harlan. Go Johnson County.
Johnson County for me on the road as well to move to over 500. And then Lehigh right here in Southwest Virginia. They make the trip not too far across that state line for them. They go over to see the Mountain Lions of Pineville, who are winless this year. Lehigh 1-1 coming off a bye week, Zach. Who do you like between the Generals and the Mountain Lions?
I think Lehigh goes and gets the win on this one.
And Corey, Lehigh or Pineville?
Yeah, let's go with Lehigh on this one.
I'm going to go Lehigh as well on the road for Joey Carroll and the Generals to move the 2-1. All right, coming up, Union head coach Travis Turner and Graham head coach Tony Palmer join us to preview the big game this week at Mitchell Stadium. Following that, we'll hand out our leadership award, the Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Leadership Award for the week, and talk some college football as we continue on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly served in Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're wearing Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here for the night. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will join us coming up later on in the show as we will recap college football for week 2 this past week. We'll do the college football eliminator as well. 4 downs of college football questions coming up later on. Remember, Michael Lombardi, the former NFL general manager, will join us to preview his new book, Football Done Right. That's just coming out last week, and will still be joining us to talk about that here coming up shortly in the show as well. And we'll pick some games for high school football and college football for Eastman Credit Union guest picker Kenny Hawkins, News Channel 11 sports director from WJHL, coming up later on in the show as well. One of those big games we'll be picking is the big game taking place at Mitchell Stadium in Bluefield Friday night. That's between the Graham G-Men and the Union Bears. Always a top clash in Southwest Virginia in Region 2D year in and year out. As the Bears make the big road trip this time around to take on Tony Palmer and the G-Men here on this fourth Friday night of the high school football season in Virginia. Graham comes in the defending state champions on a 33-game winning streak in the regular season and a 18-game home winning streak at Mitchell Stadium. The last team to beat them, the Union Bears, in the playoffs of that odd spring COVID season of high school football in Virginia in 2021 when they beat them in the first round, which at that time was really the Region 2D semis of that year in April of 2021. Now Union tries to do so once again. They've played there twice since then. They went there in the regular season of the fall of 2021 and lost by a point, 28-27. They returned there in the Region 2D semifinals later that postseason and got beat by 35, 48-13. They only played once last year. That was in Big Stone Gap at Bullet Park, and Graham winning 17-8. Graham's won the last three in this series. This will be the 11th time these two teams have matched up, the previous 10, and even split. 5 wins for the Bears, 5 wins for the G-Men. Now, Graham, who's won the last 3, 4 of the last 5, and 5 of the last 7 in the series after Union took the first 3 and 5 of the first 7, now looking to keep the run going against Union and keeping the run going against Region 2D in general. Not only is Union the last team to beat them at Mitchell Stadium, Union's also the last Region 2D team to beat the Graham G-Men for a long time now. They haven't lost to another Region 2D team not named Union since, I believe, 2016, when they lost to Richlands in that time of the year against, at that time, a Greg Mance-led Blue Tornado squad. Union, though, this time coming off a loss to Science Hill last week, 27-6 at Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap, now hitting the road for this big Region 2D clash against the defending state champions. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner. Coach, you're coming off the first loss of the year this past week to a Science Hill team who's a Class 6 opponent from Northeast Tennessee, one of the 10 to 15 biggest schools in the entire state of Tennessee, the second biggest school in Northeast Tennessee. How does your team been able to respond this week in practice coming off the first loss to a strong opponent in the Hilltoppers?
I think we've had a great practice this week. I think kids have kind of took that momentum, even though it was a loss. I thought we played really well against Science Hill for, you know, three quarters and had a couple of mistakes happen there in the fourth quarter that we couldn't overcome. Yes, a very talented football team, but I think practice has been good. The kids are pretty upbeat and they're excited to, you know, Graham's becoming a rival for us. Us and Graham has come to, like you said, to a Region 2D rivals, so we're excited to play.
Yeah, it's become almost an annual clash. You've faced them every year since 2017, and three of those years you've actually faced each other twice, once in the regular season, once in the postseason. One more thing there, though, on the Science Hill game, Coach, and that is the fact that that's a game we don't see too often, or at least a game similar to that we don't see too often in this area, where a team of that size from Northeast Tennessee is taking on a team from Southwest Virginia. I know that's something that you and Stacy Carter and a couple other coaches from that area have been wanting to do for a while now. What did you learn about your team Friday night going up against Science Hill?
I think the one thing I learned that they compete. They showed up and they competed hard on Friday, and you know our kids they played their tails off for four quarters, and you know going against a much larger school with over 2,000 students, and our kids didn't back down and they got after it for four quarters. That was the biggest thing I was most proud of.
How much similarities can you take out of what you saw from Science Hill and what you'll see from Graham this Friday?
Very similar. Athletically, speed, the Science Hill and Graham are very similar. They kind of match up real well with each other, Science Hill and Graham, with their playmakers. You know, Science Hill may have had 6 or 7 guys that are playmakers. Graham's probably got 3 or 4 that every time they touch the football that they can score every time they touch it. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for us defensively. And, you know, offensively, we're going to have to do a great job with their defense. They have an outstanding defense that gets to the football quickly.
Travis Turner, the head coach of the Union Bears, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. One of those guys that's been really a great talent for them now for a couple of years in that speed category for Graham is Tydress Clements. Been a little banged up for this part of the year so far. Expect that he'll be back, though, on Friday night for the big game against you all. I mean, most notably last year in the region title game, he went off for 8 touchdowns against Ridgeview. How do you try to handle a guy like that when you say Graham has 3 or 4 players up to that level? He may be on a level all by himself, but how do you try to handle a guy like that from a defensive perspective in getting ready for a game?
Well, I mean, defensively, we're going to have to do a really good job of getting 11 hats to the football. Not one person's going to bring him down because, most of the time he's going to make the first guy miss. You know, it's a great running back can make one guy miss. So we've got to make sure we're rallying to the football. We're getting 11 hats there. And we got to make sure we do a good job on the defense line of not getting up the field and playing and reclaiming the line of scrimmage and forcing him to go east and west. If we can force him to go east and west instead of north and south, we got a chance to tackle him.
When I speak to Tony Palmer earlier this week, he was talking about a team that's 3-0 for Graham on a 33-game regular season winning streak, defending state champions, but yet he wasn't quite satisfied with what he's seen from his team for the first 3 wins of the year over Bluefield, Galax, and George Wythe. When you've watched Graham this week on film, what have you seen for them for the first 3 weeks of the season?
When you see Graham on film, they play with a lot of emotions. They play enthused. They play really well at home. Like you said, I think they've got a 18-game winning streak at home. I think we're the last team that's beat them at home. They rely on a lot of athletic ability. They got guys that can play and can play fast, and they get after it up front. They got 2 good inside linebackers that very comparable to Science Hill's inside linebackers.
Sort of moving it over to your team now, Travis, and that is the fact if you all are off to a 2-1 start for the first 2 weeks of the season, you didn't give up a point to Lehigh and Richlands. Offensive played well for those first 2 weeks, and then obviously a little bit of a different test against Science Hill last week. Let's talk about your offense here for a moment. Rayshon Anderson, your senior quarterback, looks like to me when I saw him against both the Generals and the Tornado, had developed as a passer. We talked about that going into the year. What have you liked from him so far for the first 3 weeks of the season as your quarterback and as your leader?
I think Rayshon as a quarterback has developed tremendously over the past year. We're able to spread things out, be able to get the football to our guy playmakers at wide receiver, Rayshon still got the capabilities with his legs to make things happen with his feet. So I think his quarterback skills have greatly improved, and also his leadership skills. You know, he's a kid that's developed over time, and he's going to continue to get better. And he's a hard worker, tough kid. So, he does all the right things for us.
Keith Chandler, a freshman fullback for you last year, got some playing time last year in good ways. Even against Graham, he really controlled a third quarter at Bullitt Park in a regular season game there back last September. Now this year's a sophomore taking on a bigger role in that backfield with the graduation of a few guys from a year ago. What do you like of what you've seen in the development of Keith Chandler as your lead fullback now in your really a ballyhooed backfield of what people always know to expect out of you all when you run the football at Union?
Right. Yeah, Keith Chandler's developed at the fullback spot. Yeah, not only a good runner, but he blocks well also. Good blocker, and he takes pride in blocking. We want to continue to feed Keith and give him his carries and his reps. As the season goes on, we got to be able to control the line of scrimmage, be able to control the game with our run game, as we get into the end of the season and into the playoffs.
Your defense for the first 2 weeks, we said, didn't give up a point to Richlands or Lehigh. Now, the Lehigh game was just one half due to the lightning down in Ben Hur that night. Science Hill just 27 points last week to the Hilltoppers out of Johnson City. Your defense has been really good for the first 3 weeks. What's setting them apart right now?
Defensively, I think our kids are flying to the football. I think they're, we've eliminated a lot of the thinking and a lot of the guesswork that you say, and they're zeroing in on the responsibilities, reading their keys correctly, and getting to the football and playing enthusiastic. We're able to get some turnovers, some interceptions, and we scored maybe one defensive touchdown there against Lehigh. And obviously it's been real good defensively. They played real well. We want to continue that. Defense travels. Whenever you go on the road, defense travels with you.
Travis Turner, head coach of the Union Bears, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Coach, before I let you out here, give us some keys for this matchup against Graham this week. You talk about defense traveling. What's going to be some keys against the G-men on Friday night?
Well, yeah, I think we're going to have to control the football. We're going to have to limit their offense with our offense, and and try to limit Clemens' carries. We're going to have to tackle him well in space. The Jamel Floyd, they've also used him at running back some. I think he'll be playing this week. He's coming back off a little ankle injury also. So we'll definitely have our challenge defensively against these guys. They're one of the top teams in the region. You know, they're defending state champions for a reason. We got a bunch of kids coming back, so it'll be interesting.
That is head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner, joining us here on Pigskin Picks with 93.5 WAXM. Again, Union taking on Graham Friday night at Mitchell Stadium. Graham coming into the year 3-0 as they've got wins over Bluefield, the Beavers out of West Virginia, wins over Galax in blowout fashion, and then most recently, last week, a 37-0 shutout win over George Whiff. Now, their first Region 2D game is against Union at Mitchell Stadium on Friday night. It's a big stretch for Union. Remember, we talked about this last week. They had Science Hill last week, Graham tomorrow night, Gate City at home next week, a road game at Twin Springs, the team who's won at least a share of the Cumberland the last 2 years, but followed by a home game against Ridgeview and a road game at Central to follow that leading into their bye week. A massive stretch here for the Bears in mid-September through all the way through almost mid-October. For Graham, they're trying to find a test, somebody to give them some sort of test. Bluefield gave them that in first week. Graham had to come back and win that game, 14-9 over the Beavers. Since then, they've beat up two Class 1 powers, Region 1C powers in Galax and George Whiff. Now they get to battle against a team that's given them as much trouble as anybody in Region 2D over the last decade. That's Union. Tony Palmer, the head coach of the G-Men, making sure his team is ready for this test and ready to take the next steps to make sure they are able to achieve the expectations that they expect at Graham year in and year out. Here's the head coach of the G-Men, Tony Palmer. Coach, I talked to you before the season. You had the 30-game regular season winning streak coming off the defending state championship title. That winning streak in the regular season is now at 33 games, following wins over Bluefield, Galax, and George Whiff to begin the year. What's been working well for your team for weeks 1, 2, and 3?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think we've played very good football to this point. We haven't reached the expectations that we are trying to get to. So it's a work in progress. We're just trying to get better each week, and that's been the goal for us.
You bring up not reaching the expectations you all have wanted in the first 3 weeks of the season. What are those?
Well, obviously the main thing is to win each game.
Yeah.
But we got to improve every week, whether it's blocking, tackling, just basic fundamentals. We want to get better at that each week.
As a person from the outside looking in here, Coach, and I've had a great pleasure of getting to watch you all a good bit over recent years, certainly in the regular season and the postseason as well, I see the scores and I see, yes, a close game against Bluefield in week one, but a blowout win over Galax, and at least by the scoreboard in week two, 42-13, a shutout over George Whiff this past week, 37-0. What is it that drives you as the coach and the leader of this football program to say, you know what, 3-0 is not good enough. The scoreboard doesn't tell us how well we play. We have to decide how well we play by the way we're playing inside those 48 minutes of game action. What's the drive inside of you to get that out of this football team?
We think that we have to control our own actions. We want to try to focus on doing our job to make the team perform better. So whether it is on defense, offense, special teams, whatever it may be, we got to get better each week in order for us to get where we want to be. And we want to be the team that's going to dictate how well we play and not let anybody else control the type of football we want to play. So we want to basically impose our will, you may say, if we can.
Tony Palmer, the head coach of the Graham G-Men, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. And you've got a great battle this week against Union. You've always had fun battles against the Bears, whether it's been at Mitchell Stadium or Bullet Park in the regular season or postseason. It hasn't really mattered. Games are always good between you all, and it's expected probably the same case again this week as well. They've got a good football team. Coming off a tough performance against Science Hill, a Class 6 team out of Northeast Tennessee this past week for Travis Turner and the Bears. Before we dive into this team this year for Union, what do you know to always expect when you're taking on a Travis Turner Union squad when they're coming to town to Mitchell Stadium?
Well, you're going to play a good football team. It's going to be well coached. Kids are going to play hard. They're not going to do much to hurt themselves. So you've got to be locked in on what you're supposed to do. And try to get off the field as much as possible on defense and give your offense opportunity to get the ball.
when you look at this team, what are the things that you're going to see where you all have to be able to do to get off the field when you look at their offense with what they've done so far for weeks 1, 2, and 3 and wins over Lehigh and Richlands and a loss to Science Hill, where they're relying on not as much of their power T offense we've seen in recent years from what I saw from them in weeks 1 and 2. They're relying more of a 2 running back set with Keith Chandler and Poppy Lowry, a mobile quarterback and Rayshon Anderson, but they're also throwing the ball around a little bit this year as well. What have you seen that's going to be important for your defense to be able to get off the field against them on Friday night?
Well, we've got to read our keys and be fundamentally sound. As you just said, I mean, they're very talented, you know, at skill positions, which they normally are pretty good at skill positions. But I think this year they're probably more talented than they have been in the years past at skill position. I know they're going to be good up front. It's going to be a tough challenge for us. We just hope that we'll be in the ball game and give ourselves a chance.
Y'all went with a new quarterback this year, I believe. Tony, if you correct me if I'm wrong, Dalton Roberts, you're y'all's new man this year, leading your offense against a Union defense that's always usually a fairly good one of the top defenses in Region 2D. This year, no different. They pitched 2 shutouts to open up the year and then just gave up 27 points in total to Science Hill in week 3 this past week to a good team out of the Tri-Cities. What's your offense going to have to do this week to contend against that Bears defense on Friday night?
Well, we got a block. First off, we're going to have to try to win the line of scrimmage and hopefully put ourselves in position to make some plays. But like you said, they've got a very good defense. They run to the ball well. Got some talent on the back end. It's going to be a rough game for us.
Tony Palmer, head coach of the Graham G-Men, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXN. They play host to the Union Bears on Friday night at Mitchell Stadium in Bluefield. Graham coming in 3-0. Union 2-1. Big matchups for both teams, though, in week 4 of the 2023 season. Tony, as always, thanks much for your time. It's always great to talk to you. We'll certainly be talking to you again as we work our way through the regular season. Good luck to you this week, and safe playing for you all moving forward as well the rest of the regular season as well.
Well, I appreciate you guys for having me. Go G-Man.
That was the head coach of the Graham G-Man, Tony Palmer, joining us here on Pigskin Picks of 93.5 WAXM. Once again, Graham hosts Union tomorrow night at Mitchell Stadium in Bluefield. Next week, we'll have Union for you right over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSU, when we're back home hosting Gate City. Looking forward to that matchup as well at Bullet Park. Coming up, Corey and Zach will rejoin me. We'll talk some college football as we'll touch on the big games from this past week, including Texas's big win over Alabama. Also, what is up with the SEC? And speaking of the SEC, should Jimbo Fisher feel a little bit of heat right now down in College Station? Also, anybody want to make some changes to their college football eliminator? We'll do that coming up next as we continue on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Now, I'm thinking this may be Pigskin Picks history. First time ever Taylor Swift. This is our 4th year, guys, my 5th year. I don't remember Taylor Swift in my 5 years.
Talkative and undisciplined.
Talkative and undisciplined. Well, Taylor fits that role with her and Travis Kelce these days. Zach, do you remember us ever playing Swifty?
I have not. But and like I said earlier, I want when this Kelce Swift relationship goes sideways, I want our theme song to change to the song she writes about Travis Kelce.
I agree. And hopefully we don't have to wait too long. Can on we that make one, that no happen? Offense. I will say this. Travis Kelce giving some hope out there to fellas out there. Just hey, just give somebody your phone number. See what happens for you. That's what he did this summer. Now, he may help if you're maybe one of the greatest tight ends who's ever lived. But, yeah shoot your shot.
There's too much going on here.
No, I like to think that there's a lonely gentleman maybe sitting at the Norton Walmart parking lot right now listening to us, thinking about asking that girl out. Go ahead. Shoot that shot.
Yeah, go right ahead. She's running into the Barbaritos. Take a shot at it.
Literally, don't be creepy about it. And, there's parameters you have to follow now.
Hey, court, we're just sitting back for a couple years and see what happens.
Yeah, don't sit outside
their
house.
That's true. Yeah. I would imagine, maybe getting a pet, possibly a bird, and see how that works. See how it festers.
Definitely don't want a badger.
If you can't take care of a bird, you can't take care of a child.
No, you can't.
That's right. Let's get off this here. Let's go to our good delegate, Terry Kilgore, Leadership Award for this week. And the good delegate, as always, Terry Kilgore, supporting Southwest Virginia. And a guy that's been supporting his ball club for the first 3 weeks, fellas, is Ryan O'Quinn, the junior quarterback at Ridgeview. He's our good delegate leadership award winner this week. 16 out of 22, 229 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a rushing TD against Central in their 44-7 win over the Warriors. Congratulations to Ryan O'Quinn, the quarterback for the Ridgeview Wolfpack. Our Terry Kilgore, good delegate leadership award winner for week 3 at Southwest Virginia. Congratulations, Ryan, and to the Wolfpack for moving to 3-0. This year. Let's look at some scores there in college football. Coming up, we had Texas over Alabama 34-24. Everybody was on Alabama. Oops. Ole Miss over Tulane 30-20. I like the green wave. Oops. Miami over Texas A&M 48-33. We're all Texas A&M. Oops. Colorado and Nebraska 36-14. Corey and Zach picked Colorado. I picked Nebraska. Oops.
Told you.
Notre Dame over North Carolina State, 45-24. Zach was the only one in NC State. I finally got a win. What up? Purdue over Virginia Tech, 24-17. Heather was the only one to pick Purdue. Oh, boy, I was in trouble. James Madison came back and beat Virginia 36-35. We all had James Madison. ETSU over Carson Newman. We all had ETSU. Emory Henry over Bluefield State, 37-14. Myself and Heather were on the Wasps. Believe it. Be true. Thomas Moore shut out UVA Wise. Hello. 37-0. And we all had the Cavaliers. Last week in college, Heather 6 out of 10, Corey 5 out of 10, myself and Zach 4 out of 10. Standings in college, we're not doing great, fellas. Myself and Zach, 11 out of 18, 61.1%. Corey in third place, 9 out of 18, 50%. All right, 4 downs of college football questions. Let's start off the first down. I'm going to start off with you, Mr. Sanchez. Did the win Saturday night in Tuscaloosa say more about Texas or Alabama?
I think it said more about Texas. Because they've kind of been around the point, what type of Texas team are we going to get? Are they going to be really good? Are they going to struggle? They've had some struggle wins, some losses last year. What, they had a big streak to end the season of losses. So, they're gearing up to go to the SEC next year. I think this says more about Texas because we've seen some ugly losses in Tuscaloosa before. For Alabama, and they usually just bounce back. So I'm not really ready to write the check on them just yet. But I think it says more about Texas.
One thing we haven't seen from Alabama, though, until Saturday night was a double-digit home loss during the Nick Saban era. Zach's first time he said that happened to him since he was the head coach at LSU. Did Saturday night say more about the Longhorns or the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, I agree with Corey. I think he said more about Texas as, they're about to roll into the SEC and really – I don't think anyone would have been too surprised, and this game wouldn't have been really talked about had Alabama won it at home. I just think it would have been an afterthought. But Texas goes in, gets a win. They probably should be back-to-back wins in this series as they had opportunities to win that game last year in Austin. But I think Texas is kind of putting themselves in a great position to go into the SEC next year and say, hey, we can go into the bee's nest and pull out a win. Where else can we not go and win in the conference? So I think it's setting up really well for them. Alabama, I think, you know, they always use these type games to kind of roll in to next week and pull off a good win. So I don't think it's any time to panic quite yet. I still think Alabama is going to be on the doorstep of the trip to Atlanta in December. But I think it does say a lot about Texas's program right now where, you know, a lot of folks said, when's Texas going to kind of right the ship? And I think maybe this year's is it for them.
A weird game coming up this weekend for Alabama. A road game at South Florida. They're heading down to Tampa to take on the Bulls on a road game there for the Crimson Tide. I agree with you all. I'm going to say it says more about Texas. I obviously picked Alabama to win, and we picked Alabama to win the national championship. I'm wondering about that a little bit there with them. I'm not wondering about them. Are they on the downturn of a program here? I don't think so. I'm not there yet. Can we see them lose to a bad team first before I start writing them off? Can we see them lose to a 5-7 Mississippi State team or something before I start saying it's the end of the Saban era? But I think it says more about Texas. They finally knocked down that hurdle. Also, they looked more physical than Alabama in Tuscaloosa. You never see that. I was really impressed with everything I saw out of Sark's group there on Saturday night. Second down, should there be some doubt about the SEC after a 2-6 performance against the other Power 5 teams the first 2 weeks of the season, Zach?
I don't think so. I think it was just kind of one of those wonky weekends where, the SEC teams were playing, some decent competition. I think it was, a good week for college football, though, it wasn't much parity. I don't know if it's time to freak out yet, but I kind of like how things are maybe leveling out now across the country. The SEC has been, the world beater now for over a decade, but maybe a little bit of parity across the board would be a bad thing.
Should there be some doubt, Corey?
No, I don't think so, especially when they go to these big super conferences. It won't even really matter anymore next year. So there's no doubt. They're going to beat the brains out of each other in conference, and then they'll have two in the playoffs. So that's when it
matters. That's the question now. Will the committee remember this? Because the fact of the matter is the SEC's been terrible. Watch them. Ole Miss was bad against Tulane. Tulane had the backup quarterback, and they had to come back and beat Tulane. LSU got manhandled in the second half against Florida State. South Carolina laid an egg against North Carolina. Florida absolutely let it run down their leg against a backup QBs against Utah. Texas A&M. Except for Miami's mistakes early on in that game, they gave Texas A&M the lead. Miami controlled that game against the Aggies. Alabama got beat by Texas at home. There's a lot of questions I have right now about the SEC. And, yeah, I'm Captain SEC, and I sort of painted this picture last week that maybe there was trouble here if things didn't go their way. Well, they didn't go their way. You had Alabama, A&M lose. You had Mississippi State need overtime to be an Arizona team to turn the ball over the first four times they touched it Saturday night in Starkville. Auburn laid an egg but somehow pulled out a win against a bad Cal team, 14-10 out in Berkeley on Saturday night. I've got some questions about the SEC. I do. I've got some questions about where they're at right now moving forward in this league. And because Georgia's going to have the benefit of the doubt because of what they've done the last 2 years, and they've well deserved that. They've earned that right. I'm not sure how much more benefit of the doubt you're going to get for anybody else outside of the SEC champ right now unless somebody just goes crazy down the stretch here because the first 2 weeks have been underwhelming, to say the least, for the Southeastern Conference. Third down, the Pac-12 has 8 teams in the top 25 this week, Corey, and are off to a 6-3 start versus other Power 5 teams after they were killed off this offseason. How should they be looked at as a league this year?
Well, we're talking about this year. They're not killed yet. They're not dead yet. They've got some great schools over there and got some of the best minds in all of the sport out there. When you look at like UCLA, you look at USC and Oregon, all those schools right there. They're like, hey, we're adding value to wherever we go.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're making moves right now with these guys. Now, don't forget this. Two of the 8 teams are in the top 25 are the 2 teams left stranded. Oregon State and Washington State. Those are 2 darn good football teams. Washington State beat Wisconsin the other night. I like that Oregon State squad. If you haven't watched DJ Uiagalelei in his new home out in Corvallis, I like that squad. Zach, how are you feeling about the Pac-12 right now?
you know, Pac-12, Pac-30, Pac-2, or whatever, whatever they want to call themselves anymore. I think they're having a nice start to the season. I think Colorado has a lot to do with that. They're making a lot of noise here early, especially with what Deion's doing. But like you said, Oregon State doesn't look terrible. Washington State, two teams right there that kind of have been throwaway teams in this conference the past couple of years, are kind of creeping up towards the top. You know, everyone always talks about USC and Stanford, but man, I think from top to bottom, Pac-12 is one of the better conferences here in the early going.
I said this at the beginning of the year, I thought they were going to beat up on each other because they usually do. I'm kind of wondering, can someone break away right now and get in that playoff? Because there may be a spot open for them there right now. Can they do so? We'll have to wait and see, because I've really liked the beginning for them. And you're right, Colorado's carried a good bit of the water. They got two of those Power 5 wins over TCU and Nebraska, but everybody else playing well as well. They hadn't lost a game until Stanford lost to USC, so they obviously were going to lose one Saturday night. Prior to that, also they had Arizona State lose to Oklahoma State. Cal lost to Auburn, and then what was the other one I'm missing here? Arizona lost to Mississippi State as well. All right, fourth down, Zach. Should Jimbo Fisher be on the hot seat in College Station after another Power 5 loss?
Yeah, I think with the money they're paying him and all that hoopla when he left Florida State to go to Texas A&M, I think he should be on the hot seat. I don't see too many Texas A&M fans letting this get too far towards the deep end of the pool. I think one or two more losses, and Jimbo may be updating his resume.
Corey, where are you at here with Jimbo and the heat radius under his buttocks?
Light it on fire. Burn it up. Because you don't bring in somebody like Petrino to come in there and run your offense when you're supposed to be this offensive mind. So, you know, I think that the proverbial seat is hot for him. And, you know, maybe there may be some boosters there. Maybe get ready, trying to force them out.
Well, if they do so, it's going to be taking a big check. It's going to be about $80 million on that buyout if they want to fire him this year. $80 million this year. I wish you the best of luck on that. The question is, should he be? Sure, maybe he should be. Is he? I don't think so. That's a number that may be even too much for the people down in College Station and their oil money. All right, college football eliminator, fellas. Corey, your team, Alabama, they lost to Texas 34-24. They're now ranked number 10 in the AP poll. USC beat Stanford 56-10. They're ranked number 5. LSU, ranked number 14. They beat Grambling 72-10, but they're 1-1. Michigan, still undefeated, ranked number 2, beat UNLV 35-7. My team, Georgia, ranked number 1, beat Ball State 45-3. They're 2-0. Notre Dame, ranked number 9, the 3-0, beat NC State 45-24. Penn State's 2-0, they're number 7, beat Delaware 63-7. And Texas, now ranked number 4, beat Alabama 34-24. Zach, number 6, Ohio State, beat Youngstown State 35-7. They've been not very offensive in the first couple of games, but they are 2-0. Florida State's number 3, they beat Southern Miss 66-13. Washington over Tulsa 43-10, as they're now number 8, and Utah's number 12 after coming back to beat Baylor 20-13 this past week. Corey, your group is a combined 6-2. Do you want to make any changes?
I'll stay put.
You're going to stay put with the loss to Alabama this week, lost by LSU the prior week to that as well. I'm going to stay put as well at this time. Zach, you want any moves on your group?
No, I think I'm going to stay put too.
All right, everybody staying put this at this time. Again, Corey's team, Alabama, USC, LSU, Michigan, my team, Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas, Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Utah. Coming up, former NFL General Manager Michael Lombardi joins us to talk about his new book, Football Done Right. Also, go ahead and head to the 93.5 WAXM website. That's WAXM.com. And go down to the bottom of the page. We have a couple of SoundCloud links on it. That's where you can find Pigskin Picks on the re-air every week on there as well for the last couple of shows. Also, at the bottom of it, though, you can find our 93.5 WAXM interviews. Corey and I have done the Sports Extra show the last couple of years. I've been doing these interviews on there the last couple of weeks. There's Sports Extra interviews on there. Had Gary Myers, formerly of the New York Daily Post, about his new book about the New York Giants a couple weeks ago. This week, John Eisenberg, his new book about Rocket Man. the black quarterbacks who've changed the NFL. Warren Moon, Patrick Mahomes on the cover. We talked about a number of others as well. Dave Kindred will be the guest on there next week on that podcast as well. Go ahead and give that a listen as well if you're on there and looking around for that. Also, go to the on-demand tab on WAXM.com. You can find Pigskin Picks re-airs on there as well. We have all of the shows throughout the season so far on that tab as well. But Michael Lombardi joins us next. Following that, it's time to pick some games for our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, Kenny Hawkins, as we continue the night on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will be joining us here shortly when we return to talk some college football and some high school games for this upcoming week to pick some games here on Pigskin Picks. But now we turn our attention to the NFL as we're joined by Michael Lombardi, the former general manager in the NFL, spent many years across the league for 3 decades in front offices across many different franchises, a 3-time Super Bowl champion. But we're talking to him today to talk about his new book, Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on the Coaches, Players, and History of the NFL. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
I am great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Michael, let's start off here with the book. What was the concept behind this book?
Well, my love of history and the fact that I think some people have been kind of miscasted and forgotten about. And some of the coaches particularly, and some of the players that I think have had an unfair trial run to get into the Hall of Fame. And I wanted to kind of try to bridge the present to the past. And, you know, it's not always about, you know, whatever happened in the past is the best, right? So, or the present is the best. And I think some of these guys that played in the day when, you know, most people would say, well, you know, you couldn't play today. I disagreed and wrote the book to try to prove why they could play.
What was the? Can you give us one in particular, one specific that you go, hey, this person, we need to set the record straight on this person, and they're not getting the respect they deserve in this era for what they did in their era?
Well, I would say like Dick Butkus, right? People think, well, Butkus is too slow to play today. He can't cover, yada, yada, yada. When in reality, you know, Butkus is a big, big physical linebacker who put the fear of God into anybody who came across the middle of the field or in the running game. And he would have been a great fifth blitzer. He would have been really good in sub packages, and he had enough speed to play. So I think someone like that, someone like Willie Lanier from the Kansas City Chiefs days, you know, I think some of those older players that, you know, played the game when the middle linebacker was so important would have played. I didn't put Ray Nitschke in my top 100, but certainly he's another guy that could have played because he could run so damn well. And I think some of these guys, some of these people don't realize how well some of these older players ran. You know, Lenny Moore, for example, would have been an unbelievable running back. Why he would have fit the game perfectly today.
Michael Lombardi joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXN. This is your second book, Michael. You also were a gridiron genius a couple of years ago, a master class in winning championships and building dynasties in the NFL. I have both of these books here in front of me, and I really enjoy both of them. What is it about the book writing process that is something that you enjoy, that's something that excites you after spending almost 3 decades working in the NFL, now working in media as well? What is it about the book process that excites you?
You know, I've always loved writing. I think when you start as a scout back as early as I did, when you didn't have when it wasn't a video game, when it wasn't where everybody could sit in their office and watch the tape. You had to paint a picture of the player you were watching. You had to write in a descriptive manner, and that was something that was enjoyable to me. So the other thing is I knew I was smart enough to know that I worked for legends, right? I worked for Bill Walsh, Al Davis, and Bill Belichick. And I think somebody needed to tell that story. And since I've been the only person who's gone to the Super Bowl with all three, it had to be me. So I wanted to tell it. I wanted to honor the people that I learned the game from.
What's the one similarity that sort of bears all three of those NFL those NFL greats, those Hall of Famers, the coaches and executives and owners as well, in Al Davis' perspective, of Bill Walsh, Al Davis, Bill Belichick? What's the one similarity that you saw with working with all three of them that led to their great success?
I think they had incredible focus. They understood what the main thing was. They could identify the correct problem and fix it. That's a hard thing to do. It's easy to say, but not a lot of people do that. That's what made Steve Jobs so great, right? When he returns to Apple, they've got 30 products on the line, and he says, look, we're going down to the only thing that matters is what's insanely great. And so we're going to just talk about what is insanely great and go from there. And I think that's what these three guys did. They just reduced the game to what mattered the most and solved the problems that they knew were the problems.
And we're talking about Belichick there, and I'm hitting on a couple of current NFL topics before I let you go because I know we're running out of time here. But Belichick comes off the week one loss now to the Eagles, coming off last year where he didn't even know who his offensive coordinator was between Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, Mac Jones in year two. Now in year three, Bill O'Brien back with them. A fairly good performance, but a disappointing result there at the end, losing to the Eagles by 5. What are you seeing out of the Patriots right now going into 2023 out of week one with Mac Jones and Bill Belichick?
Well, I think they're a really young team. I mean, they started 2 rookie fourth-round picks at guard and played and held up, you know, and they had ample opportunity to win that game. They're a throw here, a more accurate throw there, get your foot down, play from beating the team. I mean, they'd spotted them 16 points. They made too many mistakes. They're a young team that's going to get nothing but better.
And one final thing, you'll be remiss if we don't bring it up, because we're doing this interview on Tuesday morning. This is the morning after Aaron Rodgers, as we just found out, the reports coming out that it was a tear of the Achilles last night on Monday Night Football against the Bills. All this buildup of him and the Jets this year going into this season, he's one of the all-time great quarterbacks in that regard of what he did in Green Bay. Now coming over to New York, they've got a pretty good roster already in place. They're just needing the right QB. What is next for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets now coming off this injury, and what should the Jets do at that position now with him being gone and Zach Wilson being the only one sitting there?
Well, they got to make Zach Wilson be a player, right? You know, remember the scene in Apollo 13?
Yep.
Where those astronauts are stuck up in space and they, you know, and the guys come in and all the scientists are sitting around a table and they throw stuff on the table and they say, we've got to make this into that using nothing but this. That's the Jets. They got to make Zach Wilson a good player. They got to turn him into a good player. He's a second overall pick in the draft. He's got his faults. He's got his problems. But they have no recourse. There's nobody out there. There's no star out there. You're not going to just go out to the farm and pick more fruit. You know, there's nothing out there. You got to make him a good player, and you got to make the team believe him. And he's got to want to believe it. And it's his opportunity. And you've got to win the kicking game. You've got to win with your defense, and you can't make mistakes with your offense.
And for Aaron Rodgers now, for him, there's Adam Schefter's tweet when he announced the report this morning, put a little bit of the wrinkle at the bottom that said there's doubt about wondering. We know this ends his season with the first year of the Jets, wondering if this maybe also ends Aaron Rodgers' career. What do you think is next for Aaron Rodgers? I know you've got a relationship with Pat McAfee, as does Aaron on his show as well weekly. What do you think is Aaron Rodgers' future now following the injury on Monday Night Football?
Well, I think it's too early to tell, right? Sonny Jurgensen, Hall of Fame quarterback at 38, at Giants at Yankee Stadium, walked off the field the same way Rodgers did with an Achilles, played 8 more games over 2 years, and that was it. Dan Marino at age 33 did the same thing, walked off the field in Cleveland, but came back to play 6 more years. So I think a lot of it is, you know, we're highly more advanced in modern medicine. They used to cast an Achilles, right? I mean, so now we have such advancement in modern medicine, we'll see if he can return, but it's going to be a long road, and it's going to be a lot of depressing roads. He's going to have to rely on his support group to help him, because, you know, he had so much built in the season. I've never seen him happier. I've never seen him really look excited for the season. And unfortunately, this occurred.
absolutely the case. And Michael Lombardi joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. His newest book is out. It's called Football Done Right, Setting the Record Straight on the Coaches, Players, and History of the NFL. You can also follow him on Twitter at MLombardiNFL. And you can listen to his podcast, GM Shuffle Pod. You can catch his also writing work on The Daily Coach and catch his work with VSiN as well and the number of other outlets that he joins throughout the NFL season as well. Michael, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with the book process. I'm looking forward to diving even more into it here in the coming days and weeks. And enjoy the season. Thanks so much for taking a little bit of time out with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Michael Lombardi joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. We'll be right back right after this.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. And we want to say another big thank you to Michael Lombardi, the former NFL general manager of the Cleveland Browns, working across a number of different NFL front offices over the years with the 49ers, the Raiders, the Patriots as well, now an analyst for VSiN and formerly of the NFL Network and FS1. But Michael's new book out, Football Done Right. Go out there and find it wherever books are being sold at the moment. We've got some big guests coming up in the next few days. I hate to do this because every time I do this, it feels like, fellas, that it ends up falling through. But if everything goes right, next week we'll be joined by Marty Smith of ESPN next week. And then if everything else goes right, we've got a few other ones coming down the tracks as well. I don't want to jump too far ahead on any other ones. But we've got some hopefully some other big guests coming up in the coming weeks as well. Also want to say a big thank you to Tony Palmer, the head coach at Graham, and Travis Turner, the head coach at Union, for joining us tonight as well. Well, all right, it's time to get to the games for this week. Let's run for our Eastman Credit Union guest picker standings. We told you earlier that this is obviously tentative because of the Daniel Boone Morristown West game being played tonight, or at least being restarted tonight. We picked that game last week. If Daniel Boone wins that game, Heather Williams is back into first place as she was as a champion 2 years ago. If Morristown West wins that game, Pat Kenny, our defending champion, remains in number one. So let's run for the standings of our Eastman Credit Union guest pickers. Number one, Pat Kenny, our 2022 champion, the retired sports writer from the Kingsport Times News, 73.7% in the first week of the season, 14 out of 19. Last week, Heather Williams, our 2021 champion, who is trying to get back her title from 2 years ago from News Channel 5 to WCYB, our guest picker from last week, 72.7% right now, 16 out of 22. If Daniel Boone wins that game tonight, she jumps to 73.9%. It'll be 0.2% better than Pat Kenny. We'll have to get through all the math there and make sure everybody's feeling well after that one. And then in third place and dead last right now, Tanner Cook, the most confident picker we've ever had from 2 weeks ago, 59.3%, 16 out of 27. We now head to our guest picker for this week. That is News Channel 11 WJHL Sports Director Kenny Hawkins, Mr. Raider himself. We know about Michael Lombardi from with the Raiders, the biggest fan of the Oakland Raiders and now Las Vegas Raiders that I know. Kenny Hawkins joining us this week. Hawk, as always, thanks so much. Hope you're doing well.
What's going on, man? I don't think it's any coincidence that you introduced me after dead last Tanner Cook. Obviously, he's probably getting ready to move up after I do my pick.
I will say, luckily for Heather, she's actually confounded the expectations. the television folks have not done well in the show the last 2 years, guys.
Horrible.
And it's not just you. Your friends at the Evil Empire, Casey Getz, PJ Johnson, now retired as well. They were right there at the bottom last year. PJ and you, I believe, tied for last the previous year. James Colley, who's now in the television business with Casey on Friday nights, was in the bottom part of the group last year. Andy McClung, I thought it was just because he was an Emory Henry grad, Corey, but he didn't do well last year either. So hopefully Kenny can get this thing going for everybody.
I'm ready, too.
All right, let's start off with the college game for this week. This is our Food City game picks for this week, College Football Week 3. We'll start off with UVA Wise trying to bounce back after a terrible performance last week on the road at Thomas More. They travel to Barton to open up Southland at Conference Play. 4 p.m. kickoff right here on 93.5 WAXN. That means a 3:30 pregame show, Corey. Can the Cavaliers bounce back in Wilson, North Carolina?
Well, you know, they've had a rough go at it with Barton the last couple of years. So, you know, I think that Barton has I think they still have that running back who's still running against us, unfortunately. So I think Barton and a close one will win this one.
Zach.
I think you're right on it, Corey. The running back, I saw him a few years ago, and he ran all over Bluefield State on a beautiful afternoon. Great environment down there. They've got a nice new stadium. I'm not with you on this one, Corey. I think Barton wins big.
Ooh, Barton wins big there for Zach. How about you, Kenny?
Well, no disrespect to your Cavs. I mean, I think it's a football program that hasn't quite gotten there yet. I mean, I know they come in at 1-1. If this was at home, it is not. I would have gone with Wise, but since they're on the road and playing down there, I'm going with Barton.
Corey, who'd you end up going with? I didn't write it down, and as we found out earlier this week, that's going to be important for some future picks. Did you end up going for your alma mater and your employer?
I said Barton.
Oh, did you go Barton? Okay. All right. I want to make sure. Just want to make sure we're off to a good start this week. Just want to make sure we're off to a good start on that this week.
Come on, you're like the Steelers and the Lions and the Thanksgiving that year.
Yeah.
We're
trying to make sure I'm not Jerome Bettis. I'm going to go Barton. I think Barton wins this one big. They just come off an FCS win over Davidson last week, where they went down to Davidson, North Carolina, and got the win over the Wildcats. They blew out Shawan in week one. Jordan Terrell is back. He's going to be a big player. They didn't think he would be back. They thought he was a transfer portal guy heading to the FCS. Not quite the case. He's back at Barton. I'm going for the Bulldogs as well. 7 p.m. kick for Emory Henry, Zach. They're undefeated, and they travel down to South Carolina to see the Newberry Wolves next to the graveyard. How do the Wasps do against Newberry?
I think Newberry gets them. I think that that place has a little aura to it, you know, especially next to that that cemetery there, and they've got a great environment there. The quarterback may be out for a bit. He got roughed up on Saturday at Bluefield. I think Emory meets their match this week, and Newberry gets them at home.
Hawk, how about you, Emory Henry or Newberry? Kenny, how about you, Emory Henry or Newberry?
Oh, I thought you were going to somebody. I was like, what happened? Somebody got cut off.
You're good.
Emory Henry comes in 2-0, as you talked about, Newberry. It's on the road. I like the Wasp. I think they go on the road. I think they get this. Somebody going to get stung, okay? Let's put it that way. So I'm going Emory Henry.
There you go. That's called a business decision there, Corey. How about you? Your business is always anti-Wasp. Are you anti them again? You're 0-2 on that this year.
I'll be 1-3 after this one. Give me the Wolves to exterminate the Wasp of Emory.
Wow.
Newberry, the reigning South Florida Conference champions, but it wasn't enough to get them in the Division II playoffs last year. I'm not sure what they're going to be able to do this year beyond this game, but I do think they take down Newberry. Remember Emory Henry's first conference game last year? They went down to Wingate and won in overtime. Big game for them, and it really hurt Wingate when it came to the conference standings, not so much for the playoffs. This time, though, Newberry's ready for the Wasps. They get the win. Carson Newman travels to Limestone. Noon kick. The Saints are looking for their first win of the year, while Carson Newman's coming off the shutout by ETSU last week. Kenny, who do you like in Gaffney, South Carolina?
I'm going to go with Carson Newman. You know, you can't really measure them to what they did this past weekend. I mean, first of all, it was a three-and-a-half-hour rain delay. They're playing a bigger school. Obviously, you know, they didn't score. You know, ETSU was supposed to pitch a shutout, and they did. I think Carson Newman goes on the road and beats Lions.
Did you stick around for the lightning delay?
I was there through the whole game. I didn't get home until about 12:30, 1 o'clock. I sure did.
That's a weekend, fellas. That's a weekend he's doing that on. Corey, how about you, my man? Are you with the Eagles or the Saints?
I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Ooh, going to go Carson Newman. Okay. Zach?
Yeah, I'm making this a trend. I'm going to go Carson Newman on the road. I don't think Limestone has it this year. I'm going to go Carson Newman.
I'm going to be alone here, huh? Okay, I'm going to ride with Limestone. I'm going to go with the Saints. Mike Furry's squad, the former NFL wide receiver, is who I'm going to pick in this one. I'll go with Limestone to get win number one in their first conference game of the year. 6 p.m. kick, Tusculum travels to Wingate. As the Bulldogs sit at 1-1, Tusculum at 0-2. This is a 6 p.m. kickoff down in North Carolina for Jerry Odom against Joe Reich and the Bulldogs. Corey, who do you like down in North Carolina?
Who cares? Give me Wingate, though.
That would be Wingate or Wingate, according to some. It just depends on who you ask. Zach, where are you at on this one?
I'm going to go Wingate at home. I think they pulled out.
We're going to have a clean sweep for Wingate, Kenny?
You know, I really want to go Pioneers. You know, I thought they played pretty well in that opening game in the first half against Kennesaw State. Yep. And then, of course, the wheels started to come off after that. But, yeah, we're going to go clean sweep. I'm going to go with Wingate as well.
I saw Wingate up close and personal last year. I haven't forgot about it in the final regular season of 2022. First conference game for them since then. I think they still take care of business for Joe Reich. And the Bulldogs give me Wingate at home. ETSU travels to Austin Peay. It's another volunteer state battle for the Buccaneers as they travel out to Clarksville, Tennessee, not Clarksburg, Tennessee, like the announcer for ESPN Plus kept saying last week during the Tennessee broadcast. This is a 7 p.m. kick here, Kenny. You like Buccaneers or the Governors out in Clarksville?
Well, you know that I'm an alumni. You know that.
I'd love
to go with gold. Coming off a good win over Carson Newman, a win that they should have won. Austin Peay stays close with Tennessee. I mean, they stay close, but they frustrated the Vols a little bit last weekend. They're at home. Unfortunately, I say let's go Peay. I think they win this and hold the Bucs.
Well, since we're going the alumni route, I'll go ahead and pick here as well. And I hate to say it, but I'm with you on the guys from the 931, like their helmets. I've never seen somebody put their zip code or area code, I should say, on a helmet.
Cool.
I've never seen anything quite like that for Scotty Walden and the Governors. But I'm with you, Kenny. Unzip your fly and let's go pee. Corey, where are you at in this one?
I'm going to keep the fly zipped up, but let's go Austin Peay, the Governators.
Austin Peay for everybody. Zach, come on, do it for my alma mater, mine and Kenny's alma mater. Pick the Bucks.
No, I can't do that. I think Austin Peay's all over the boat and gets the win.
Well, they need some water there in Johnson City to make sure they're actual Buccaneers, according to some. All right, everybody's on Austin Peay. Virginia travels to Maryland. This is a Friday nighter, FS1, 7 p.m. kick. Virginia's looking for win number one, Zach. Maryland sitting there undefeated. Who wins in College Park?
With what happened with the cable industry there last weekend, I was kind of forced to watch Maryland play, and it was awful. But I think Maryland at home gets the win. Virginia is just not good.
Maryland wasn't very good in that first half against Charlotte last week.
They were not, but anybody's better than Virginia right now, even Virginia Tech.
Yeah, well, and I tell you what, though, Virginia, Corey, gave James Madison a little bit of a comeback there. They had them. They went into a lightning delay. It's Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. The Indians have the Cubs on the ropes. They go into the lightning delay, and the Cubs come back and win. Now, James Madison went into the lightning delay, came out with the win over them 36-35. This is a business decision for you, my friend. Virginia cashes your checks, or at least writes them. I guess you can cash.
I'm going to be. I'm cashing my check, but Maryland's going to win.
Van Pelt and Under Armour. Okay.
And
Kenny, who do you want between the Cavaliers and the Terps?
Well, I agree with you guys. I think Virginia's not there yet. I still think that it is a work in progress. I do think that was great effort last week against James Madison. James Madison's a good football program, even though the head coach is no longer there, but they have another good one there in place. With that being said, however, I'm going to go with Maryland on the road.
Yeah, Kurt Cignetti, now the head coach there, James Madison. I told y'all last week they got an offensive coordinator to keep an eye on, and Tino Sunseri. Kenny, the son of Sal Sunseri. Yes, I know Cole Childers came over your body when I brought up that name, former Tennessee defensive coordinator. But his son, a very good offensive coordinator. Just saying.
Well, let's hope so.
I'm going to go Maryland at home as well. I'm going to go with Mike Locksley, Josh Gattis, and the Terps to move to 3-0. And they're going to be a 3-0 that you don't really know a ton about. I don't think it's 3-0. They're going to have a ton of answers about the Terps. Another team we sit at 2-0, I'm not sure we have a ton of answers about them right now. That's Rutgers. They host Virginia Tech, who's 1-1, 3:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Zach, I'm going to start off with you again, Mr. Hokie. Can they move to 2-1 coming off the tough loss to Purdue?
I think they can. I don't think it's going to be very pretty. They've kind of almost got this quarterback situation figured out, which is a big positive. I think they go on the road, and I think they right the ship, and I think they get the win in Rutgers.
Kenny, how do the Hokies do against former Tennessee head coach Greg Schiano?
Well, listen, I've always said if you got two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. But with that being said, I thought Virginia Tech played pretty strong against Purdue. In another pick'em deal that I'm in, I went with the upset. I think Virginia Tech wins it on the road against Rutgers.
Wow, two Tech picks already, Corey. You almost never pick Tech. I believe you did last week, though. It burned you. Heather Williams was the only one of the Boilermakers. She got that one right. How do you like him this time in week two against the Big Ten?
Well, Mom always said life is like a box of chocolates, and I'm going to go with the guy who looks like Forrest Gump and Greg Schiano in that one. And, Kenny, I hope that Tech pick wasn't on the survivor pool because you'll be dead in the water after this.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Man. All right. I'm going to go Rutgers as well. This will be their second win of our Power 5 team, but I'm not sure any of the two wins are against real Power 5 teams this year. Virginia Tech's not going to a bowl game, and they beat Northwestern in week one, and Northwestern's a case to be the worst Power 5 team in the country. It's between them and Stanford, I think, this year for that honor. I'm going to go Rutgers at home. I'm going with Schiano. Now I feel sick. 7:30 ABC. It's time for a backyard brawl, Corey. Who do you like between the 1-1s? Pittsburgh coming off a tough loss to Cincinnati, while West Virginia is trying to fight for their coach's job. Who do you like in Morgantown?
I like desperation, and when I'm desperate, I burn the couch. Well, give me the Mountaineers in this one.
Well, all right. Drink some beers. Go Mountaineers for Corey. How about you, Zach?
Ooh. Well, you know, I hear enough West Virginia banter up here in Bluefield, so I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh to bounce back after the tough loss to the Bearcats last week. Kenny, who do you like in Morgantown?
Take me home, Country Road. I'm going to burn a couch, too. I mean, Pittsburgh, West Virginia, both teams come in 1-1. I just think it's hard to beat the Mountaineers and in Morgantown, so I'm going to go with West Virginia.
I'll be interested to see how this game goes. The most famous game of these two maybe is the 2007 low-scoring 13-9 battle that knocked Rich Rod and West Virginia out of the national championship hunt by a 5-7 Pittsburgh team coached by Dave Wanstead on crutches. I think this one may be low-scoring, too. I'm going to say Pittsburgh wins it again. I'm going to go with Zach. Give me the pan for some Pat Narduzzi. 3:30 ESPN. Both of these teams are 2-0. In Chapel Hill, it's Minnesota making the trip to take on Mack Brown and the Tar Heels and Drake May. 3:30 ESPN. Kenny, who do you like between the Gophers and the Tar Heels?
You know, I watched that first game of the year against Nebraska. It's a game Nebraska should have won. Then I watched Nebraska against Colorado last week, and they looked horrible. You know, North Carolina, 2-0, barely getting past Appalachian State. I think Brown rights the ship. I think they take down Minnesota.
After the game, Mack Brown saying, North Carolina's not playing Appalachian State anymore. They have nothing to gain out of that. The only thing's to lose. Well, yes, if you lose the game, Mack, you can only lose. You're right about that. Last week you won it. It took double overtime. This time you took care of your business. Do they take care of business against Minnesota, Corey?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
That's two North Carolina picks so far. Zach, how about you?
You know, something about Mack Brown just aggravates me. I don't know what it is. You know, if I was in a bar in Boone, I'd probably fight him. But I'm not. I'm in an office. I'm gonna go UNC in Chapel Hill to win it.
I don't know much about the bars in Boone, but right up the hill in Blowing Rock, I love the Town Tavern. Nice spot off the road, sort of cut through downtown. Nice little place. Just an idea if you're out there traveling this weekend.
The people I've met in Blowing Rock don't shower, so I'm not a really fan of that place.
Okay, wow. I didn't have that kind of experience.
What was her name?
Oh, my heavens. All right, we're off the rails already. We haven't even got to the Tennessee game yet. I'm going to go North Carolina at home. I told you a couple weeks ago, Zach, I thought the North Carolina-South Carolina game was against two of the most annoying coaches out there in Mack Brown and Shane Beamer. I stand by that. I'll go North Carolina at home, though, over another annoying head coach in P.J. Fleck. 7 p.m., ESPN. It's time to go to Gainesville, Hawk. I don't know if you're going. I know the most famous story of you going down there is when you somehow ended up in Alabama on your way down to Florida.
What?
That's another story for another time.
Interstate systems are hard now.
To be fair, Hawk was not driving. He was in the car, just not paying attention.
No.
That's even worse. You just made it sound worse.
I was not in the car, and everybody else was asleep. I was working on the computer, and next thing I hear is, "Welcome to Alabama." Longest trip to Gainesville ever.
But how does Tennessee's trip go this time?
Well, listen, they haven't beaten, Florida since, 2013?
In Gainesville, 2003.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It really has. At times, Joe didn't look too good in the Rutgers game. He made the comment, "I never lose in Florida, so the Gators are going to be jacked up." I'm going to stay with Heupel. I think the Orange finally snaps that streak in the Swamp.
Another note here, they haven't won back-to-back games over Florida since that became an annual rivalry in 1992. They've won a couple, obviously. They've won a couple in Gainesville. Just never went back-to-back. They won last year. Just a reminder. Zach, who do you like in the Swamp?
I think Tennessee gets the win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people really want to feel comfortable about.
Comfortable for the folks out in the errant regions, Corey's is 6.5.
Yeah.
In favor of the team in all orange.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they'll be in all white Saturday night. But how do you like this one between the Vols and the Gators?
Well, you know I love aggressive dark colors when they play.
Billy Napier does that.
Yes. He's very aggressive. But I think after seeing what they did out there in Utah a couple weeks ago, just couldn't get anything humming. I think Tennessee gets them. I think they'll play a sloppy game, but I think Tennessee will win in the end.
Big time. You get Fowler. You get Herbstreit on this call. Herbstreit's got a busy week. He's got Vikings-Eagles in Philadelphia tonight. He's got game day in Boulder Saturday morning. Then he's got to get to Gainesville Saturday night, putting some miles on the old private plane. I'm going to go Tennessee, obviously, in this one. I do think it's close. I do think it's sloppy. I do think it's going to be ugly. I do think I'm going to need about 1,000 blood pressure pills to make it through this game. I don't think it's going to be a good sign of things to come. I don't love what I saw at Austin Peay. I still think this team wins 9 games, 10 games. I just think their schedule's kind of easy this year. I don't think they're a terrific football team, but I'll still ride with Tennessee on the road against who I think is probably a pretty bad football team in Florida. But Billy Napier should not be on the hot seat. That's another story for another time. Northeast Tennessee, let's head into week 5. William Blount travels to Westridge. Corey, who do you like over in Bluntville?
As long as they don't smoke that blunt, the blunt is going to go all the way. I can't
Which one was that? A William Blount pick? Was that what that was?
Oh, God.
My heavens. Zach, what in the world was that?
I'll take it, William Blount.
Wow.
Save us, Zach, please.
I have not rolled any blunts lately. I'm going to go Ridgeview South on this one.
Kenny, please bring some professionalism to this.
I thought we got back the wheels on track. We just come unglued now. Hey, listen, I don't know who these governors are because it's been a long time since they've been 4-0. Obviously, I'm from that region. They come up here to take on a Westridge team that I think is pretty good. However, I think the governors stay in office. I think they win.
Wow. A couple of picks for the governors out of you tonight. Austin Peay earlier, now William Blount as well. I'm going to go Justin Hilton of the Wolves. I'm going to go with you, Zach, on this. I'm going to go with the home team. We're going to go split WBs on the left, WRs on the right, and we're going to go with Westridge on this one. Dobbins been playing host to the boys from Asheville, North Carolina, Zach. Who wins at Jay Fred?
Well, I'll tell you, this is an intriguing little matchup here. Asheville, that's a little tough trip up the hill. I think DB gets the win. I think DB gets the win at home.
It's the return of Don Hellman. Kenny, does that matter to this game at all?
You know, I mean, they were missing their little mascot. So, I think it means something. I think DB at home, I mean, I think they're tough to beat there. Jay Fred, they got their problems on the road. I'm going to go with Dobbins Bennett.
Dobbins Bennett for everybody so far. Corey, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going with the band.
Dobbins Bennett for Corey, Kenny, and Zach. I'll go DB as well. Congratulations to Asheville on the nice road trip there and the victory. Since we're all going Indians, that never usually goes well for us. Tennessee High travels to Sevier County. Sevier County sitting at 3-1. Vikings at 1-2. Kenny, who wins down the road there for the Vikings as they make the road trip?
I think Sevier County's got a pretty good football team. I mean, as you mentioned, they stand at 3-1. I don't think Tennessee High has figured it out just yet, so I'm going with Smoky Bears.
That, believe, would be the alma mater of one Dolly Parton, Zach Helton. They're going to work longer than 9-5 on this one if they want to get a win over Tennessee High.
Yeah, I hear Dolly's done well for herself, so good for her. I think Tennessee High gets lost at the Buc-ee's, and they drop one at the old Sevierville.
I can't remember. Who was the coach last year, Kenny, that they played a playoff game down past Crossville and they stopped at the Buc-ee's? Do you remember that story?
Yeah, it was one of the teams from Carter County.
Oh, gosh. And I was like, really, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go stop at the Buc-ee's. They don't have to go that far anymore. They have the one there in Kodak, Corey. If they want to stop now to Buc-ee's, they're in Sevier County right off the interstate. Who do you like in this one?
What Dolly always said, right?
I'll always love you.
And oh, it costs too much to look this cheap.
Oh.
And this is going to be Sevier County's win.
Okay. All right. I could do some Kenny Rogers, Islands in a Stream stuff. Not going to. I'm going to just go Sevier County.
You stay there for this weekend.
I will. Thank you. I will.
You will.
I will. And maybe be a karaoke
that
session.
That is what we are, though.
That is. Thank you. Thank you. Science Hill travels to Maryville. This may not take long. We'll go with Corey on the first pick here between the Hilltoppers and the Rebels.
You give me Maryville.
Maryville at home. Zach.
Yeah, I'm going to go Maryville.
Kenny, Science Hill came across the state line and won in my hometown last week. Can they make a big road trip and beat up the old Fighting George Quarles's?
Well, I mean, you know, keep in mind, I mean, this is the first time in a long time Maryville's lost back-to-back games. So, I mean, this is not your grandfather's Maryville. You know, Science Hill, you know, I think they have the personnel to get the job done. But do I think they're going to go down there and beat Maryville? No, because I just think that the reputation – Maryville already gives them a 10-point lead over the Hilltoppers, so I'm going to stay with Maryville.
I had a text from a fellow ETSU alum the other night after the game where Maryville lost their second straight one, and he said that he knew of a coach they could get back if they wanted. I thought that was mean-spirited. I wouldn't say that. I'm going to go Maryville at home, though. Let's head to Southwest Virginia. Lebanon at Castlewood, they're both looking for their first win over there in Russell County. Zach, who gets this one? Mercifully gets win number one.
You know, let me tell you something. I love the folks at Castlewood, from Hank Banner down to Patrick Wade. I love their staff. I love what they're doing there. But give me the Lebanese in this one.
Who would John Sabo pick in this game, Corey?
Yeah, you're right. Who would he pick?
I think he'd go Castle.
Yeah.
I think we sell bracelets to say, what would John Sabo do?
Yeah,
what
would we say? Yeah, that'd probably work. Yeah. Or just have a shirt that says Sabo on
Sabo.
It.
Sabo.
Yes.
That's all you need.
Yeah. So Castle would Sabo in this one, so I'm going Lebanon in this.
Lebanon for everybody so far. Kenny, somebody's got to get win number one. Who will it be?
You know, I think it's going to be Castlewood. I mean, we've covered a couple of Lebanon games. They just have not looked good in either game. So I'm going to go with Castlewood.
Blue Devils for Kenny. Oh, geez. Now I'm going to go Lebanon. They've won the last two in a series, 16 out of the last 17. I'll go Pioneers. Good luck to you, everybody. Holston travels to Honaker. Honaker sits undefeated on the season. Kenny, who wins from the Cavaliers and the Tigers? As the Tigers are the heavy favorites this year in the region, but Holston's been a team that's been right up there near the top of the region now for a few years.
Yeah, I think this actually turned out to be a pretty good game between these two football teams. However, Honaker, I think, has been a couple of steps better than the Cavs. I'm going to go Honaker.
Corey, Cavaliers or Tigers?
Yeah, just like last week, I'm going to go with Honaker.
Okay. Honaker for everybody so far. Zach, you riding with the Tigers after their close win over Rye Cove last week?
Yeah, I think it's a good win. You know, Honaker had to be tested at some point, and I'm glad it happened early. I think they're going to be very tough to handle on that turf at home. They like to sling it around. And Holston with a pretty good win over Battle, but I like Honaker at home in this one.
I like Honaker at home as well. I think that they're going to sort of stiffen up against Holston more than they did against Rye Cove. I think Rye Cove is a little bit better than Holston, to be quite honest. And I'll take Honaker at home over the Cavs. Marion, sitting at 2-1. How do you do Jack Ginn and the Hurricanes? Right now, Corey, right now, Marion and Gate City would play each other in the first round of the playoffs.
Why are you emphasizing this?
This is called a lover's quarrel, Zach.
No, it's not called a lover's quarrel. See, you're disrespectful for that. Because you know where I'm going. Because I don't want nobody knocking on my door trying to sell me a vacuum cleaner. So I'm going to go eight. There's a story behind it, too. I'm going Gate City in this one.
Gate City for Corey. Zach, you don't have any
rainbow
lover's quarrels in this, do you?
Listen.
It was Kirby.
The rainbow vacuum cleaner can do so much, Corey.
They were trying to take the rainbow vacuum cleaner from us.
It's a hypoallergenic machine that I think you should take a look at next time they come around. Wow.
Zach, who do you like?
Yeah. I'm sorry to cut off. I've been around the block, and I know how great these machines are. I'm going to go Gate City at home, though.
We had two Gate City picks, Kenny, and I think an infomercial. Who do you like in this one?
Well, I think I'm going to pass on the vacuum cleaner. So, listen, I was shocked Gate City got beat last week, to be completely honest with you. I don't think they're going to lose two in a row, so I'm going to go with the Blue Devils.
I know an interim radio market manager that is just absolute magic with a vacuum cleaner. Just saying that, Kenny. I mean, I'm not trying to put any spike to it, but I'm just letting you know. I'll take Gate City at home. I'll go Blue Devils to bounce back with the win over the Hurricanes. Rye Cove's going to try to bounce back. They travel down to Thomas Walker. They're going to try to get loose. Zach, who do you like in Ewing between the Eagles and the Pioneers?
I'm going to go Eagles in this one. Rye Eagles soar over Lee County.
Rye Cove. All right. Thank you, sir. Kenny.
I'm going to say, I'm feeling it. I'm trying to get loose. I'm going to stay with Rye Cove. I think they beat Thomas Walker.
Rye Cove, everybody. Corey.
I have a bird's eye view from the Eagles nest. I will go with the soaring Eagles to bounce back.
Yeah, I am too. This was a close game last year. Overtime win, 30-28 in double OT. Rye Cove actually controls the all-time series, 25-18. I think they make it 26-18. Give me the Eagles to get Cumberland District win numero uno. Ridgeview travels to Virginia High. They're putting a couple extra cameras on this game, I've heard, over at Gene Malcolm Stadium. They can put some cameras there, just no other bleachers. Ridgeview travels to take on the Bearcats, though, Kenny. Who do you like between these two?
Ridgeview. I don't even know if I don't know if this is going to be close. I don't think Virginia High is there yet. Ridgeview's rolling. I go with them.
I just hope the game's able to get finished with all those cameras on it there with the way the recent pattern's been going. Corey, who do you like? We saw this game in a Region 2D semis last year.
We did. And it was
42
much
to nothing.
It was much of nothing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be much of nothing again. Give me our boys in Dickinson County to annihilate
Zach?
The cameras.
Wow. Zach, everybody's on Ridgeview. Man, this is emphatic so far. How about you?
Fun fact, the crew of the television production that you're speaking of had to sign waivers that they wouldn't fall through the bleachers at Gene Malcolm. So, Godspeed to that team down there. I'm going to go Ridgeview on the road.
Wolfpack going wild for everybody. I'm going to go Ridgeview as well. They stay undefeated and set up a pretty big matchup in a couple weeks if everybody can stay on path when they come to Big Stone to take on Union on the first Friday night in October. We talked to the coaches in the Union Graham game. That's my favorite game of the week. My favorite game of number two in the ranking system, Eastside at Chilhowee. These two teams were a combined 1-19 a year ago, Corey. 1-19. Now they're both 2-1. Now they both have a future. They're excited about it.
They're combined 4-2 now.
They're excited. There you go. They're excited. I tell you what, the Spartans and the Warriors are both excited. But who gets most excited upon Smith County on Friday night?
Well, Eastside, they've traveled to, I think they traveled to Red China. They've traveled to Israel, Canada, just to play these couple games this last few weeks.
That'd be Hurley and Riverview, West Virginia.
Yeah, same you. Difference. But let's go. I think Chilhowee gets the best of them and a good one.
I asked Mike Rhodes about his schedule before the year on a Pixie Pig schedule. He said, I wanted to get some new teams on this guy. I said, you did it.
You did it.
They also have a road trip to Auburn left in the season. That's not Auburn, Alabama. That'd actually be a little bit closer, I think. Zach, who do you like in this one, though?
Yeah, I'd be worried if, the team out of Ohio was on the schedule. But I like Eastside to go on the road. Sorry, Sabo.
We're split so far, Kenny. Where are you at on this one between the Spartans and the Warriors?
You know, you talked about these two teams didn't do much last year. They both come in at 2-1, obviously showing improvement. I think they're still pretty close on paper. So whenever that happens, I go with the home team. I'm going with Chilhowee.
I'm going to go with Chilhowee at home as well. I think both of these teams, for what I've seen so far, have a pretty good chance of making the playoffs. I think right now Chilhowee may get a home game for 3 weeks. Yeah, who's the only guy doing points in the Virginia VHSL for 3 weeks? Only this guy.
I got a sheet.
I know, I gave one to you. There you go. Use it for Friday night if you wish. I'm going to say Chilhowee wins at home. They'll probably both be road teams in the postseason if I had a guess at this point. Once we get to November, I think Reed Sturgeon and his crew are ready to take another step and go to 3-1. I still like this Eastside team for what I've seen for the first few weeks. We need to get them on our schedule in a couple of weeks. But we will certainly go with Chilhowee on this one. Zach will be by himself in the Warriors. On the Spartans, I should say, in the pick on the road.
Yeah, don't let people tell me I don't love the Cumberland, because I do.
Yeah, I know you do. It just pours out of you.
Graham. But the doctor said that was something else. I told him it was the Cumberland, but they said it was something else.
Thank you.
Dear Barbara.
Union at Graham. Somebody, please. Union at Graham. Oh, my goodness. They're 2-1, the Bears. Graham's 3-0. The all-time Series 22 is 5-5. 5-5. That's interesting to me. Who do you like in this one? Who did we start with? Did I start with you last time, Corey? I think we did. Let's start off with Mr. Helton. He knows Mitchell Stadium pretty well. Who do you like between the Bears and the G-Men?
Speaking of Mitchell Stadium, they got a new sound system and new lights, and the fans coming from down Wise County it's going to be a lot brighter. It's going to be a lot better aesthetically, so that's going to be a very cool thing they'll get to see. It'll be the first time they get to use the lights in the game this week against Graham. Graham still hasn't forgotten that Union win in that playoff game in the spring a couple of years ago. That has gnawed at them for years. And I think Graham takes it to Union. May see someone back.
Yes.
Word on the street.
That is what I was told earlier this week as well. They expect to have somebody back. All he did was score 8 touchdowns last year in the region title game after missing the last couple of weeks. We saw this game a couple times, it feels like, for the last couple of years. You brought up the game there in 2021 in the spring, Zach, of that Union won. That was the last time that Graham lost a game at Mitchell Stadium. That was the last time they lost a Region 2D game. Right now, Kenny, they have won their last 33 regular season games, and they are the defending state champions. Do they keep the roll going against the Bears?
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to the Bears, but this is kind of easy. I'm the G-Men. You'll rarely catch me picking against them. Graham wins.
Graham's won the last 3 in this series, Corey. They've won 4 of the last 5. They've won 5 of the last 7 in this series after Union won 5 of the first 7 in this series. I wonder what changed around that time. Who do you like in this matchup there in Bluefield on Friday night?
Well, I got a recruit on this one, and in the words, what was 50 Cent part of? G-Unit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's go with the G-Man.
had no idea. Thanks for the
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. I'm going to go Graham as well. I think that I don't see anybody beating him on this side of Virginia, if anybody at all. Tony Palmer's not pleased with the way his team's played the first 3 weeks. I'll tell you that. You heard that in the interview earlier on the show. He wants to see better. And the Union usually brings out the best in these guys. Regular season games usually fairly close recently. We'll see how it is Friday night up in Bluefield, but I'm going to go Graham at home. The game we have on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. J.I. Burton looking for win number one as they travel to Nicholsville to take on the undefeated Twin Springs Titans. We're down to just five, count them, five undefeated teams in Southwest Virginia, two in Region 2D, Graham and Ridgeview, three in Region 1D, Honaker, Patrick Henry, and the 2-0 Twin Springs Titans, Kenny. Who do you like between the Raiders and the Titans?
Well, I think the undefeated team stays undefeated. J.I. Burton just has not been a good football team this year, despite the, you know, their school name. I mean, I don't know what's happening there. You're a Raider. You got to be better than 0-3. So I think it's going to be Springs.
The autumn wind is supposed to be a Raider, according to John Facenda. I'm not sure about a light September warm breeze, Corey, because it hasn't been working for them so far. I saw them last week where they lost 60-7 to Patrick Henry. Do they have a chance in Nicholsville?
I just want to tell, like, Kenny's talking about you're supposed to be a Raider and win. I don't think I've ever seen the Raiders of the NFL win in my lifetime anything.
But they did.
Besides bad luck. Besides the luck. Oh, come on now. That wasn't
on here. You put me on here with these youngsters. Oh, man.
I know.
Hey. Hey, that one defensive tackle didn't even believe in him. He didn't even show up for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, that was the center, Robbins, right? Yeah, he didn't show up for the Super Bowl, yeah. But, okay, so, yeah. But y'all did have, like, Warren Sapp in the prime. Oh, never mind. Let me stop. Anyway, with that saying, I have seen a Raider beat a Titan, but it won't happen on this night. So give me Twin Springs.
Wow. Twin Springs for everybody so far. Zach, you on the Titans, too?
Yeah, Nicholsville, great place. I'm going to go Twin Springs on this one.
I spent a little bit of time on Nicholsville earlier this week. Talked to head coach Keith Warner while I was in the area, checking out a few things. I ate at Teddy's on Monday. The good folks at Teddy's, what a restaurant that place is.
Great.
Oh, it's terrific. And let me tell you something, wonderful Wi-Fi. That's not even sarcastic. I feel truthful. Great Wi-Fi. I don't know if that matters to anybody. Twin Springs at home. I don't think it's very close. I know a lot of people have been wondering about Twin Springs. Are they still good? I'm not sure they're on the top tier, but I think they're probably about the next best team in the next tier in Region 1D. I think they may end up being that 4-5 range in the seeding come the end of the year. I like this squad. They're a little bit hurt right now, but they're going to be well enough to get a win on Friday night. Give me Twin Springs at home. Our game we have on 93.5 WAXM. Corey, you'll have the call. Letcher County Central from Whitesburg, Kentucky, comes over to Norton, Virginia to take on Y Central. Letcher County Central's 2-2. Central Y's 1-2. Did you notice how I've named them like three different things already? Who do you like in this one at Tommy McCamus Field?
The clock. Feather Warriors, they struggled last week.
You saw them.
Yeah, I saw them. And, you know, and to make a point, I'm going to tell all these people in the VHSL, get off your hands and actually put together a stat package where you can get rosters and stats of these young student athletes and
somebody
everything.
Somebody sent you a link.
Yeah, I know. And that was very sharp and smart, and I loved it.
Thank you.
There you go.
Well,
that's what,
no. Hey, Corey, calm down. They've got to take up the broadcasting fee before they can get the stats together, okay?
That $7,500 goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. It stretches out. Just give me a phone cord. But anyway, no, we're treated great up there. Anyway, saying that, I'm going to go with our guys, the head of the Double Quick over there in old Coach Junior. So I'm going with Double Quick and everything. Bring me up some Rice Krispie Treat, boys, as well. I love them down
there. The Cougars for Corey, Zach. How about you?
After that rant, Corey will now be broadcasting live from on top of the Walmart. So congrats, Corey, for that. You know me, guys. I'm all about the Cougs. Cougs on the road. Cougs everywhere.
Kenny.
Let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
He can't remember when the Raiders won, but he can remember a phone cord. Come on, man. Come on. You can't have it both ways, man. Okay. I don't know much about Letcher County Central. I'm going to be completely honest with you. So I'm going to stay with Wise Central or Central Wise, however which way you're supposed to say it. I go with them because they're at home.
Central for Kenny. Again, I forgot another way to call them on this segment. I'm going to go Letcher County Central on the road, though. I have seen Kenny wear a shirt of a Kentucky high school, Zach. Would you like to guess which high school it was?
That's right.
I don't listen. Don't break my heart right now.
You know which one it was. Bell County.
The Big Blue.
Yeah.
When he walked in one morning and I saw that, I was like, whoa, here we go. I'm going to go LCC on the road. Give me the Cougars and Norton over the Warriors on Friday night. That's the game we have on 93.5 WAXM. That's coming up with Corey on the call on Friday night, pregame 6:45. Over to our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. J.I. Burton travels to Twin Springs. Aaron Collier have the call as a phone line will be working from Titan Stadium. As we got that all taken care of.
There you go.
Aaron Collier will be on the call over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDradio.com. So looking forward to that broadcast. And UVA Wise coming up on Saturday on the road at Barton in Wilson, North Carolina. Pregame 3:30, kickoff at 4 for the Cavaliers and the Bulldogs as they open up South Atlantic Conference play. Thanks once again to Tony Palmer, Travis Turner, and Michael Lombardi for joining us tonight. Go out there and find Michael's newest book, Football Done Right, wherever books are being sold. And once again,
can
thanks to our guests.
Can someone
read it to me? I'm sure. I think there's an audio book.
Hey.
I'm sure there is.
Tell Lombardi next time you talk to him, keep my head coach's name out of his mouth.
He says about Ron Rivera.
Oh, he's always saying stuff about Ron Rivera.
He said stuff about
you think he's Josh McDaniels or something, for all I know.
Okay, all
Lord.
Jeez. Did you catch that shot he threw in there, Kenny? But Kenny Hawkins, our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, thank you to you as well.
I didn't know I was going to be able to hear Will Smith either, but as always, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks, man. Kenny Hawkins joining us here on Pigskin Picks tonight. Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton, I'm Jacob Towns. We'll talk to you next Thursday night, as always, right here at 8 o'clock on 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks. Brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.